The man who responds to the Miami fight song like nobody's business. He's Mr. Chris Rose, our pal from the NFL Network. Dugout Discussions, Baseball Today, Cavs fan. Let's start there, Chris. How are you?
Hey, man.
Yeah, that sucks.
Why can't we have nice things, Chris?
Well, I think this one hurts more because we haven't had a lot of teams, you know, outside of the LeBron peak era where we really felt like, God, this team can really win it all. Even the Guardians last year, they were a good team. What did we win? 92 games, I think, during the season. But you knew it was going to be an uphill climb when you got to the playoffs.
Yep.
If you faced the Yankees, you weren't going to be favored by any means. And heck, if you got past them, how the hell are you going to beat the Dodgers? But this team, you looked at it and you looked at the rest of the league, you were like, yeah, we can dream big here. So I think that's what really sucks the most today.
Were you surprised about anything in particular in the series?
Yeah, I'm surprised that our guys who had been consistently great throughout the year, Ty Jerome in particular, I thought that Hunter was kind of missing in action a lot. And, you know, I told you this last week. I don't question guys' health, so I don't know how much they were hurting. Right. All I know is that nobody cares. You know, it won't go down. Pacers beat an undermanned Cavs team 4-1. It'll just go down. Pacers beat Cavs 4-1, which is what it should be. So does it suck? You know, do I wish our guys were 100% healthy? Yes. Do I think it would have made a difference? Possibly. I really felt like we lost the series in the last 47 seconds of game two. I thought I'm not so sure we would have won it, but I know that we definitely lost it that night.
Up seven.
It was gonna be really, really hard to come back from that.
Up seven, 47 seconds left, and you lose the game. I agree with you on that.
Second time they had done that in, what, four games, three games, whatever. They're amazing. They were able to pull that off. How would you fix the Cavs moving forward?
Well, I haven't quite gotten – I've been working this morning, so I haven't gotten to the column that details their lack of ability to move players and add players because of financial restrictions, because of the DeAndre Hunter trade. I haven't gotten it.
Or no first-round – yeah, or no first-round picks for forever.
Yeah, so I'm speaking a little bit out of turn.
Yeah.
But I still believe – I posed this at the beginning of the playoffs – which was, is the question, is the backcourt still too small, and is the front court too big? And I think that those are still pertinent questions. They really are. The Pacers, the area where they outplayed us the most, in my opinion, was they consistently had eight guys making threes. We basically had one, and that was Evan Mobley. Really, I can't, unless I'm not thinking clearly here. Sam Merrill was okay at times. Hunter was okay at times from three. Mitchell was non-existent. Jerome in this series, horrific.
Mobley, Chris, stat-wise, Mobley was the only guy who played any number of minutes who made over 34% of his threes. He was at 43%. Max Strus was next at 34%.
Yeah, and I actually thought I felt terribly for Strus because I thought he played his ass off.
I did too
in the playoffs.
Yep,
and just last night was one of those nights. He played great. He really did. He played exceptionally well in most of the games. Just last night was a real tough one for him.
I agree with you on that. The idea of a core four and guys that they're all terrific basketball players. But in the NBA, more than any other sport, it's about fit. And I wonder if the front office takes a look and thinks, we need to make that move, we need to trade somebody big, or if they can tinker around the edges and maybe adjust the way these guys play a little bit. And Chris, that's a huge thing, especially as Andy laid out, without the, not a lot of first-round picks that you can move. In fact, none for a while. And the contractual restrictions that they have. So, though the team did a great job in the regular season, and though if healthy, maybe they would have done more in the playoffs, I think the front office is in a tough spot to make major changes in any which way, which might mean you got to roll it back and get better from within.
Yeah, but I don't think that changes the deficiencies.
I agree with you. Yeah, that's the point. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, rolling it back sounds great, but when we get to the second round again next year, if we run into a team where, you know, the Pacers aren't as dependent on T.J. McConnell as we are on Darius Garland, right? They can get 15 to 18 great minutes from him, and they're not going to win or lose a game based on his performance. The same can't be said for us with Garland. And too many times in this series, and once again, I'll give him a hell of a lot of credit for getting out there because he wasn't close to 100%.
No.
But the number of fouls that he committed where he got caught on a big and didn't have a choice but to grab him, and then there were a couple of really ridiculous fouls that he made at the beginning of game four that put him on the bench early. Those are going to show up next year, too. He's not going to grow to be 6'6", right? You look at the backcourt that the Pacers put out there. Their guys are not 6'1". Donovan Mitchell's 6'3", I think.
On a good day.
And he's not a point. So we need somebody else out there that can handle the ball. And, boy, teams are going to eat you alive on the defensive side, and they're going to pressure you and exhaust you. And that's the Pacers laid out the formula to beat the Cavs in the postseason. So just to say that we got to hit open shots, I don't know if that's going to be enough. I just don't.
Chris, obviously a big day for you. Are you following along to see the schedule leaks today? And obviously the league schedule released for the NFL tonight. At least we know where everyone's playing, but we'll get times and dates and what's going on.
Yeah, because everybody does the same thing. We go, okay, that's a win. That's probably a loss. And then there's a whole bunch of maybes. So everybody does that. It's really fun. It's great because this is the day where, like, at NFL Network, we'll have a bunch of people who get on the board and say, well, your team's going to end up 10-7, and your team's going to end up 5-12. And then people bookmark these tweets that get put out, and they're ready to fire them off in early January when the season's all over. And then they realize, oh, my God, well, maybe that person was right, so I'll just get rid of that tweet now once and for all. So it's a fun day. It's great also because people get to kind of plan if they want to go to a road trip, if we want to go hit Las Vegas to check out the Browns Raiders game. Is that really doable with our buddies? Like, that's fun. I think that's great. It's a day of optimism. I love it. I love it. And it's always fun to see which social media teams can really hang and which ones are not contenders. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's really true, actually. That is an awful lot of fun. What'd you hear out of Brown's rookie minicamp? Any rumblings from folks about quarterbacks?
I don't care.
All right, then what is the Chris Rose depth chart right now, then?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. None of that stuff matters. For people that are going to get all huffy-puffy, well, that quarterback threw it better, that one quarterback. Folks, doesn't matter. They're there to learn the playbook right now, get acclimated to being a professional, to a new building, to a new atmosphere, that sort of stuff. It's great for building enthusiasm, but it just does not matter at all. The tweets about Mason Graham were irresponsible.
Oh, hey, I'm glad you said that, Chris, because I said the same thing. I'm like, if the guy's throwing up, who cares and why is it our business?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I know that working in the media, that it's your job to fill content. To me, that's if you want to say that a kid got sick, you know, like it happens during training camp in every organization. By the way, it happens to major league pitchers. You can go check out John Boy's breakdowns of Hunter Green throwing up like three times in a game last year. Like, it happens. That sort of stuff happens, but that happened during a ball game. It's hard to get the cameras off when it happens. But here somebody is making the determination that this is newsworthy. I don't know if he was sick, if he did eat bad chicken wings, as Kevin Stefanski said. And for people to sit here and do a side-by-side of Mason Graham and his college teammate, Kenneth Grant, and say, oh, my God, that guy in Miami is going to be so much better. Folks, listen to Daniel Jeremiah. He is a dear friend of mine and, in my opinion, the best draft analyst going. He said it throughout the entire process that Mason Graham will not win the testing phase of this program. In fact, you'll look at him and you'll look at the results and be like, can this guy even play football? And then go throw on the tape, which is actually the most important part of playing football, is playing the football, and you'll see how good he is at it. So for anybody that wants to sit here and say, well, why did we trade back, not get our hands on Travis Hunter, and take a guy who seemingly can't handle the heat? Folks, I can't tell you if Mason Graham's going to be a good football player, but if you're basing his evaluation on him getting sick during a rookie mini camp, then God bless you, because I don't know how you have a happy life at all.
That's actually quite accurate. I think Chris Rose from the NFL Network and other good things joining us. Your Guardians have decided that Brian Rocchio needs a little trip to AAA, which I completely understand and agree with. I hope he finds his bat, and then I hope there's no place for him to play back here, because it would mean Arias and maybe Martinez or Schneeman are doing a great job. How is that working for you, and what do you think of a trio now in right field?
So I don't like being the I told you guy, but I did say this at the beginning of the year. I said I'm not so certain that Brian Rocchio has that shortstop position locked up. And I firmly believe that. And I wasn't so sure that Gabriel Arias, I said I didn't think he was out of the equation, but I hadn't seen enough of him as a consistent at bat to say that he's an everyday major leaguer. I think that's been the best part of this season so far, is that Gabriel Arias isn't giving away a ton of at bats, that we know he can play defense. And I've told you this, I feel like he's our best shortstop, second baseman, and third baseman on the team defensively. Brian Rocchio is going to have to work really hard to earn a spot back here, because the problem was you could play him every day last year when nobody threatened him and he had a low 600 OPS because he was so good defensively. He lost his confidence defensively, and then he couldn't get bunts down either. And when you're not doing anything for a team, you can't even play a bit role here. You need to go back and find your confidence in the minor leagues. So that's my thoughts on him. I'm happy they made the move with Will Brennan. It'll be interesting once Lane Thomas gets to be, you know,
yeah.
I think Lane Thomas comes back and he is a, I think that Noel will go down, and I think that Lane Thomas will be a platoon in right field, because I think Angel Martinez, although he's slumping a little bit right now, has proven to be a more consistent player at this point. And the Guardians have to go with the hot hand. They don't have enough proven major leaguers to say, we'll ride it out with this guy.
Thank you, Ken, sir. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you.
Chris Rose joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram hotline.